Hello and welcome to KHL Cast, the premier English language commentary podcast for Russia's top hockey league, the best hockey league in the world playing right now. I'm your host, Nelson. I wanted to take a brief moment to remind you to please subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You'll get a brand new episode every Saturday morning sitting on your queue. If you like the podcast and know someone else who would as well, please share it around. Do note I record these episodes on Friday mornings, so there's a game being played as I speak. Standings might be a tiny bit different by the time this gets to your ears. Today is the second episode of a series I've been really excited to do. I've been doing an overview of all the teams playing in the KHL this season in four parts with one division each week. Today is part two of four, where I will cover the Tarasov division of the KHL. But first, a brief update on the league. To skip this update and go to the team overview, please fast forward to 12 minutes. So the first thing we have to discuss is a trade. CSKA Moscow, the Red Army team, sent defenseman Mikhail Numenkov to Ufa in an exchange for forward Nikita Shushkinov. From the sound of the report from the league, Shushkinov had requested to be traded from Ufa after seeing a big decrease in his playing time there. Shushkinov remained productive in his bottom six role, scoring 17 points in 21 games, and he was even willing to take a pay cut to move to league-leading CSKA. Before coming to the KHL, Shushkinov had played three seasons in the NHL with the Maple Leafs and the Blues, and scored 48 points in 58 games with Ufa last season. With increased ice time on a top-tier team, look for Shushkinov to hit a hot streak soon and make his impact felt. Mikhail Numenkov is a defensive defenseman who's played with CSKA in parts of eight seasons now, including a 2017-2018 season where he donned the C for the squad, and he was part of the team's 2019 Gagarin Cup win. Although he's never been much of a point scorer, he has been a steady presence for many years on the team's blue line. It was a steep price for CSKA to pay to bring Shushkinov over, but they are really lacking scoring forwards right now, and a shoot-first guy like Shushkinov should be a great fit to play alongside a passing centerman like Konstantin Okulov, CSKA's assist leader with 20 this year. CSKA is a strong defensive team, and while the loss of Numenkov hurts, they have plenty of good options to use on the blue line. Ufa was essentially cornered into trading Shushkinov, but they were able to capitalize and get a really good return for him. Ufa has a defensive core that has struggled at times, particularly the younger players like New Jersey Devils draft pick Shakir Mukhamadulin. Mukhamadulin has especially struggled with puck control along the blue line, and another strong veteran defensive presence like Mikhail Numenkov is bound to help the younger guys develop those skills. I think Numenkov would pair well with Mook or with Philip Larson. Larson is an offensive defenseman who scored an impressive 17 points in 21 games, but struggles physically with defense in front of the net. Numenkov could really help balance Larson's weaknesses and provide for a solid second D pairing. So I think this is a trade where both teams are going to end up winning. Ufa was cornered into making the deal, so they had to do something, and they were able to really get a good return out of Shushkinov, and it should pay off for both teams. To start the standings update, I want to talk about this crazy skid Avtomo Bolyce has been on over the last few weeks. They've now lost seven games in a row and haven't won since a November 14th gimme game in Riga. On Thursday, they lost to Dynamo Moscow 7-2, and they gave up three goals in the first 5 minutes in that game. And looking forward, their schedule isn't getting any easier. Their next three games are against Akbars, perhaps the best team in the East, Avangard, and SKA. Now, with their excellent play early in the season, Avtomo Bolyce has built a solid point total so far, and they are still firmly in a playoff position in the East, but if they continue skidding, especially skidding this hard, that could certainly be in jeopardy. Look for Avtomo Bolyce to win at least one of those three games against tough opponents, and then keep a close eye on their Sunday, December 13th match versus Metallurg. Metallurg is now 2 points up on Avtomo Bolyce in the standings, and Avdo should look to make up ground against this equally matched divisional foe. Metallurg has been hot of late, winning their last four matches, allowing them to climb ahead of Avdo in the standings, but we have another week before this game is played, so there's plenty of time for that hot streak to die off. Staying in the East, Torpedo has continued looking solid, winning 2 of 3 this week. With 4 teams to be cut from the East in the playoffs, Torpedo has a 5-point cushion currently over Baris, the closest competitor for that spot. Avant-Garde has been red hot. They are certainly established as a powerhouse team in the league this year and look destined to make a deep playoff run. They've won 8 of their last 9, including a win Tuesday 3-0 against Akbars Kazan in a face-off of the 2 best teams in the East. Goalie Simon Rubek recorded 33 saves in the shutout as he continued his incredible performance with Avant-Garde since coming over from Kunlun in a trade for cash on November 6th. Rubek was so excited to play for Avant-Garde, he took a pay cut to complete the trade, as Avant-Garde couldn't afford to take on his previous salary and remain under the cap. He has an eye-popping 9.56 save percentage in 6 games for Avant-Garde. My last comment on the East, my team Tractor Chelyabinsk is still looking like one of the better teams in the league, which is exciting to see after my first 2 years of watching them where they were pretty miserable. So that's nice to see. Switching over to the West. Vitya has won 2 of 3 this week and has closed the gap with Severstal to just 2 points. Justin Danforth has looked excellent with 31 points in his many games played this season, and he even scored a goal backwards Thursday versus Torpedo. When that offense clicks for them, they are potent, and they look playoff bound when that happens, but too many games this season, that offense just hasn't turned up. Spartak didn't look good this week, and they've lost 5 of their last 6. They weren't playing particularly good teams either, as they've had losses to Armor, although Armor always gives them trouble, Neftahimik, and Baris in the last week. Spartak holds only a 2-point lead over Severstal and a 4-point lead over Vitiaz. 3 teams will be cut from the East for the playoffs, and barring some kind of miracle, Dinamo Riga and HC Sochi will be 2 of those 3. The last cut is where things are going to be interesting. It's most likely to be one of Vitiaz or Severstal, although if Spartak remains as cold as they have been, it could certainly be them who gets cut. We still have quite a ways to go in this thing, so there's many possibilities. Certainly, though, it will be exciting to watch the race for that last playoff spot. We had our November Player Awards announced this week, so let's talk about that. The Best Goalie Award went to Dominik Firk from Dynamo Minsk. He won 6 of 8 games in November, including a shutout. The Czech goalie faced 250 shots, or 31.2 on average per night, and he stopped 93.6% of those in November, with a goals against average of 1.98. He had a shutout streak of 100 minutes and 54 seconds during that time as well. The Best Defenseman Award went to Alexei Emelin from Avant-Garde. He won 7-9 games with his team in November, posting 5 points, 1 goal and 4 assists, and a +5 rating. The Hawks blue liner scored on the game winner in the away match against Baris. In November, Emelin had 16 shots on goal, 13 hits, and 19 block shots. The best forward was Dmitry Yaskin, who won 7 of 11 games with his team in November, scoring 12 points, 7 goals and 5 assists, with a +6 rating. The Dynamo Moscow forward posted a hat trick against Dynamo Riga, including the game winner, and doubles against CSKA and Traktor. Yaskin also recorded 33 hits and blocked 4 shots. The best rookie award was given to forward Ivan Cekovic on Torpedo. He scored 8 points, 2 goals and 6 assists in 9 games with a +2 rating. He's only 21 years old. He scored points in 7 games, had 20 shots on goal, and logged an average ice time of 17 minutes and 49 seconds. And finally, we have the Game of the Week segment. As I explained last week, going forward, I'd like to do more than one Game of the Week, but for these ones where I'm doing the division breakdowns, there's just no way to have the time. So it's going to be one for now, and then probably going forward, there'll be more than one. We'll see. But this week, for the Game of the Week, we'll go to Magnitogorsk, where Metallurg took on SKA Thursday night. Metallurg has made a strong climb in the standings over the last few weeks, both because of their good play and divisional opponents' poor play. SKA, they're one of the best teams in the league this season, and despite facing COVID challenges, they have a young, exciting team with a potent offense led by star prospect Kirill Marchenko. The goalies had the upper hand on this game for almost the first 40 minutes, with some close saves on both sides. Finally, with 1.5 minutes left in the second period, Igor Ozhiganov of SKA broke through Metallurg's goalie Juho Olkinora and found the back of the net for his 19th point this season. Osiganov is a defenseman, but he had snuck into the ice in the front of the net, and so when his teammate and captain, Evgeny Kitov, took the puck into the corner before turning and directing a pass to the center of the ice, Osiganov was there, wide open, ready to take advantage of the opportunity. It took until halfway through the third for Metallurg to tie the game back up, and they did so on a breakaway during a power play, a goal for Sergei Plotnikov, his 23rd point this season. With a minute 30 left on the clock in the third, we had a tie game that looked destined to go into overtime, but Metallurg had different plans. There was heavy traffic in front of SKA's goalie Samanov, and Metallurg's defenseman Artem Zemchenuk took advantage, scoring on a rocket shot from the point. Zemchenuk is an 8-year veteran of the league and a shutdown defenseman boasting a +6 rating this year. That goal ended up being the game winner. This game was a real goalies battle. Juho Olkinora for Metallurg versus Alexander Samanov for SKA. Both made incredible saves throughout the game, Olkinora saving 28 of 29, Samanov saving 32 of 34. Ultimately, Samanov made one more mistake than Olkinora, and it cost the game. Olkinora has been a solid asset for Metallurg this season. His second season in the league, he's posted a .939 save percentage in 18 games as Metallurg's first-choice goalie. Samanov has struggled at times this season, and with three other goalies in the wings, including 2020 11th overall pick Yaroslav Askarov, SKA has other better options available. So I think that wraps up this week's league update, and now I'd like to move into the division overview for the Tarasov division. The Tarasov division, named after Anatoly Tarasov, probably the greatest coach in Russian hockey history. This is the division of three dynamos, Moscow, Minsk, and Riga, so good luck with that. I'll try to make them memorable enough that you can separate them out in your memory. I'll refer to them by their city name to hopefully reduce confusion. Also in this division, Russian hockey's most storied franchise, CSKA Moscow, and the historic franchise Yaroslavl Lokomotiv. Again, as I stated in the last episode, there were some divisional shufflings prior to the 2020 season to avoid COVID travel issues, so if you're listening to this in the future, just be aware that they might go back to that original alignment. And remember that year where we couldn't do anything the entire time? I bet you're glad it's not 2020. The reviews will be formatted as follows. Team history, past players of note, current players of note, and season outlook. Since this division has been dominated by CSKA Moscow, or the Red Army team, let's talk about them first. CSKA Moscow, Russian hockey's most storied franchise. The club was founded in 1946 under the Ministry of Defense as a division of the Soviet Army. This team has historically dominated Russian hockey. CSKA won 32 Soviet regular season championships during the Soviet League's 46-year existence. Far and away the most in the league's history. No other team has won more than five. This included a run where they won 13 in a row from 1977 to 1989. In addition to dominating Russian hockey, they dominated European Cups, and they infamously dominated the Olympics, except when a pesky USA team said otherwise. The Red Army team was able to pull off such a long run of dominance because during the Soviet era, the entire CSKA organization was a functioning division of the Soviet Armed Forces through the Ministry of Defense. All able-bodied Soviet males had to serve in the military, so the team was able to draft the best young players in the Soviet Union onto the team. CSKA's dominance did wane a bit into the 90s, as premier players chose to make their careers in the NHL once that pathway was opened up, rather than remaining in Russia for the duration of their careers. In KHL times, CSKA has dominated the regular season, but they haven't had the same dominance in the postseason. They've won the Gagarin Cup only once in 2019, but they've had the best record in the regular season, a record five times. Technically, this makes them the defending champs, as the 2020 Gagarin Cup playoffs were canceled just a few games in due to COVID. So they're technically the defending Gagarin Cup champions this season. Past players of note. Where do I even start here? Especially among earlier NHL Russian stars, almost all of them have ties to CSKA. Of course, before you could go over into the NHL, all the best players played for CSKA because of what I explained before about them being drafted in the military. I'm going to list off seven former CSKA players who have been enshrined in the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto just as a starting point. Pavel Bure, the Russian Rocket. He was inducted to the Hall of Fame in 2012. Sergei Fedorov, he was inducted in 2015. He played most famously for the Red Wings. He's currently the CSKA general manager as well, so he still has ties to the team. Vyacheslav Fedosov, a defenseman. He was inducted in 2001. He played for the Wings and the Devils. Valeri Kharlamov, a winger, inducted in 2005. He played his entire career in Russia. Igor Larionov, he was inducted in 2008. He was with the Red Wings. Sergei Makarov, he was inducted in 2016. He played a lot for Russia, but also played with Calgary, San Jose, and Dallas at the end of his career. And Vladislav Tretiak, a goalie, inducted in 1989. He played exclusively in Russia. He's a three-time Olympic gold medalist. Additionally, CSKA coach Anatoly Tarasov, of whom the division is named after, is enshrined in the Hockey Hall of Fame in the Builders category. Like I said, this is really barely scratching the surface of the incredible players that have played for the Red Army team across their history. I think it would make for a good future offseason episode where I go more in depth into the incredible breadth of talent that's donned the Red Star for CSKA. But moving on, let's talk about current players of note. Their leading point scorer this year is Konstantin Alkhilov. He's a passing centerman with 29 points in 31 games, 20 of those coming on assists. There have been reports that the 25-year-old is drawing the interest of NHL clubs, most prominently the Canadiens. I also heard the Toronto Maple Leafs. But he's remaining in the KHL for now, at least. This is his fourth season in Moscow. He was a critical part of that 2019 Gagarin Cup victory, scoring 14 points in 19 games during the playoffs. As I mentioned during the league updates, Nikita Shushnikov recently joined CSKA. He came over from Ufa after seeing a big decrease in his playing time there, despite being very productive, scoring 17 points in 21 games for them. Before coming to the KHL, Shushnikov played three seasons in the NHL with the Maple Leafs and the Bruins, and scored 48 points in 58 games with Ufa last season. With increased ice time on a top-tier team, look for Shushnikov to hit a hot streak soon and make his impact felt. This is a strong defensive team, led on the blue line by Dmitry Samurakov and Klaus Stahlbeck. Samurakov was a 2017 draft pick of the Edmonton Oilers, and at just 21 years of age, he already has a strong defensive game, and he certainly has to factor into the Oilers' future. Stahlbeck has some NHL experience and is now in his third season with CSKA. He rated plus 6 in the playoffs during their 2019 Gagarin Cup win. Finally, there's a handful of players with NHL ties like Maxim Shalunov. He's a Chicago Blackhawks draft pick, although at the age of 27, I don't foresee much of a future for him in the NHL. Perhaps the openly rebuilding Blackhawks will give him a shot at some point. Regardless, he's playing well in Russia this year with 24 points in 32 games, and he could look to make a career of it in Europe. Anton Shlepyshev, who had signed an entry-level deal with Edmonton and even played 102 games in the NHL between 2015 and 2018, but at the end of that entry-level deal, he opted to return to Russia, and he's been trying to make his way here in Europe. Nikolai Goldobin, he recently played for the Vancouver Canucks and was excellent for them in the first half of 2018 and 2019, but then his production absolutely fell off, and he struggled to get the opportunity to play regularly. He is currently injured, but he's looking to prove his abilities in his native Russia. Finally, Oilers draft pick Kirill Maximov is on loan to CSKA, with the youngster looking to develop his skills in Europe while the NHL season is still on hold. Season outlook. CSKA will be one of, if not the top team heading into the playoffs. they could win the Continental Cup for the best record in the regular season. Now the question is, will they be able to repeat their 2019 success, or will they yet again fall short in the playoffs as they have so often in the KHL years? Moving on to the three Dynamos. Yes, three teams with the same name. I'll refer to the Dynamos by their city, as I explained earlier, to help alleviate any confusion. So let's start with Dynamo Minsk, the Belarusian team. They're known for having perhaps the most fervent fans in the entire league. Team history. This is another one of Russia's historic franchises. Dynamo Minsk was founded in 1966 as part of the USSR's Dynamo Sports Society. All three of these Dynamo teams were part of this Dynamo Sports Society. It's kind of similar to the Spartak Sports Society we discussed last week, but the Spartak Sports Society was designed to increase the health and fitness of union workers and laborers, whereas the Dynamo Sports Society was directed more towards government workers, particularly the police forces, and most notably the KGB. Minsk played off and on in the Soviet League and played in Belarusian leagues in the 90s and early 2000s. They played in the inaugural KHL season in 2008, and as the only representative from Belarus, they've been a fixture in the league ever since. Being that they are the only KHL team in Belarus, this team truly represents an entire nation and, as a result, has some of the most fervent fans. They constantly rank in the top five in attendance, and in the 2016-2017 season, it is reported a total of 400,000 fans attended games there throughout the season. Unfortunately, the team has not been particularly successful on the ice. They've qualified for the playoffs just four times in 12 KHL seasons and have never advanced past the first round. Players of note. Their all-time points leader is Jeff Plott with 170 points in 260 games with the team. He played 46 games in the NHL in the mid-2000s before his tenure with Minsk. Ruslan Saleh is their most famous graduate. Saleh played for Minsk in the early 90s when they played in the Russian Elite League. Saleh was drafted by the Ducks and became a full-timer in the NHL for the 97-98 season. He was a hard-hitting enforcer. He accumulated 1,065 penalty minutes in the NHL, along with 204 points in 917 games. In 2011, Saleh decided to return to Russia, signing a contract with Lokomotiv Yaroslavl. He tragically died in the Lokomotiv plane crash of 2011, which we will talk about later on in this episode. Current players of note. The leading scorer for Minsk currently is Brandon Kozun, with 26 points in 24 games this season. Kozun played briefly for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but has been carving out a successful career for himself in the KHL since 2015. In second on their points chart is former Boston Bruin and New York Ranger Ryan Spooner, with 25 points in 23 games. This is Spooner's second season in Belarus. After posting 37 points in 43 games last season, Minsk elected to keep him around. Similar to his time in the NHL, Spooner makes a living as a passing centerman. 21 of his 25 points are on assists this season. Brennan Menel, a former Minnesota Wild draft pick, has 21 points from the blue line in 24 games and rates at a plus 11. Goalie Dominique Ferk, who we talked about in the player award section, is having a great season. He won that November Goalie of the Month award. He has a 919 save percentage in 20 games. The team has several Belarusian prospects playing for them on loan from their NHL squads, including Vladislav Kolyachnik of the Florida Panthers, Yegor Sharon Govich of the New Jersey Devils, who scored an impressive 22 points so far this season, Maxim Shushko of the Philadelphia Flyers, whose paltry 3 points in 23 games has alarm bells sounding back on Broad Street, and Alexei Protas, a 6'6" centerman from the Washington Capitals. Also on loan to Minsk is Ryan Murphy of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Murphy has played in the KHL before with HC Neftahimik, and he looks to rebuild his stock for another chance to play in the NHL. He has 5 points from the blue line in 7 games. Season outlook. Minsk is currently third place in the division, which puts them in a good position to make the playoffs. There are only three teams with more points than them in the West, and they have a solid 11-point cushion from falling out of a playoff spot. I fully expect them to make the playoffs, but will they fall short in the first round again? If they keep performing well in the regular season and can take on an easier opponent in the first round, like a Severstal or an HC Spartak, I could see them moving on to the second round. However, I doubt they have the depth needed to beat a true powerhouse like SKA, CSKA, or Yokorit. The next team is Dynamo Riga, a bad team with great fans. Team history. Yet another historic franchise in this division, Dynamo Riga was founded in 1946 after the reoccupation of Latvia by the Soviet Union, as part of the Dynamo Sports Society that we discussed earlier. They played in the Soviet League and the Russian Super League. They played outdoors for their first 14 seasons. They were a remarkably unremarkable team, with their only season of note coming in 1987-88, where they lost to CSKA Moscow in the championship. This original team disbanded in 1995. The club was reformed, however, in 2008 with the start of the KHL, and was fairly successful in the regular season for the first few years, making the playoffs in five of their first six seasons. However, they have been outright terrible since then, and haven't made a playoff appearance since 2014. Despite this, Riga has a strong fan base and pretty good attendance numbers. Again, similar to Minsk, Riga has the advantage of being the only hockey team in their country, so an entire nation rallies behind them. Latvia has a rich hockey history, which we will touch on in this next category. Past players of note. As a premier hockey team in a hockey-obsessed nation, there is a long list of impressive players who have played for Dynamo Riga. My list is sure to miss important players. Latvia's hockey history make for an excellent off-season episode. Also, please excuse my attempts at Latvian pronunciation and Russian name pronunciation too while I'm at it. Here's a few. First, Viktor Hutulevs, the first Soviet player drafted by an NHL team in 1975, although he never played in the NHL due to rules that didn't allow him to leave the USSR. He was essentially blacklisted out of the Soviet League due to this, and although the league claimed it was because he accidentally punched a referee while fighting another player. He was finally formally banished from the league in 1981, although he'd had several other bans implemented on him between 1975 and 1981, so he had very limited playing time. Hutulevs was found dead on a street under mysterious circumstances in 1994. Artūrs Irbe. Irbe started his career with Riga and was drafted into the NHL in 1989. By this time, USSR players were allowed to go over to the NHL, and Irbe enjoyed a long career in the NHL, recording a .899 save percentage in 568 NHL games. Sergeis Zoltoks. Drafted in 1992, Zoltoks played in 588 NHL games, scoring 258 points. Sadly, Zoltoks' career ended early as he passed away at the age of 31 while playing in Latvia during the 2004-2005 NHL lockout. Sandis Ozolins, maybe the greatest Latvian hockey player of all time. Ozolins was drafted in 1991 by the San Jose Sharks. During his career in North America, Ozolins was a seven-time NHL All-Star, a Stanley Cup champion with the Colorado Avalanche, and a Norris Trophy finalist. He is also the all-time leader for goals, assists, points, and games played by a Latvian in the NHL, and holds several Colorado Avalanche and San Jose Sharks franchise records. He had 564 points in 875 NHL games. He returned to Latvia in 2009, being named captain of Riga, and played with them and the now-defunct Atlant before retiring in 2014. Current players of note. Lauris Dargins, the captain. He was a 2003 Nashville Predators draft pick, but never played in the NHL. He has a long history with Riga, and played in the inaugural season in 2008. He did spend some time with other KHL teams from 2011 to 2013, but he's been back in Riga since 2014. He has 14 points in 21 games this season, and only a minus 5, which is not too bad considering the circumstances. Martins Dzirkals, a 2015 Toronto Maple Leafs pick. He was traded earlier this year to the Vegas Golden Knights, but for now the 23-year-old's playing in the KHL, and he scored 9 points in 22 games this season. He's unlikely to make the NHL. He's been a very inconsistent player, but perhaps he could get sorted out in the KHL and make a career for himself in Europe. Tony Sund. He was recently signed as a free agent by the San Jose Sharks. The 25-year-old Finnish defenseman has 8 assists in 20 games and a minus 2 rating this season. Season outlook. The only thing Riga has competed for this season is the worst record in the KHL. You have to tune in to find out if it will be Riga or Kunlun. Dynamo Moscow, the team of the KGB and Ovechkin. Team history. They were also founded in 1946 as part of the Dynamo Sports Society. Moscow won the first Soviet hockey championship in 1946-47. They won four other Soviet hockey championships, including a run of utter dominance, winning three straight from 1989 through 1992. That ended rival CSKA Moscow's dynasty. In the KHL era, Moscow has continued their success. They've made the playoffs 11 times in 12 KHL seasons, including back-to-back Garen Cup wins in 2012 and 2013. Dynamo Moscow has had financial troubles during their time in the KHL, including a bankruptcy declaration a few years ago, but with the deep history in the league, I don't foresee the KHL letting this team fold. And it was a few years ago now, so maybe they're over it. Things are kept a little hush-hush in the KHL, so we won't know for sure. Past players of note. This is one of those teams I've talked about that set up a school and they train young players on their youth team, so this list could be very lengthy. A few highlights. First of all, Alexander Ovechkin. Certainly their most famous alumni. Ovi started attending Moscow's school from a young age and was beating Pavel Bure records at the age of 11. He played four seasons for Moscow in the KHL before being drafted into the NHL. He played with Dynamo Moscow during the 2012-2013 NHL lockout, and he's publicly stated that he wishes to play again for Dynamo Moscow before retiring from hockey. It goes without saying that Ovi is one of the greatest goal scorers of all time, and he's destined for the Hall of Fame, and I can't wait to see him playing in Russia once more. But he shows no signs of slowing down in the NHL, so don't expect him to move over anytime soon. Alexander Maltsev. A two-time Olympic gold medalist, he played 17 seasons for Moscow, accumulating 585 points in 446 games for the team. Valery Vasilyev, also a two-time Olympic gold medalist, also played 17 seasons for Moscow, and he accumulated 186 points from the blue line in 619 games. Again, this list could be much longer. I was just trying to get a couple highlights on there. Current players of note, Vadim Shipachev. Things might not have worked out for him in the NHL, but he's having an excellent season in the KHL as captain of Dynamo Moscow. He's recorded 34 points in 30 games in his second season dressed in blue. Dmitry Yaskin. Yaskin picked up 69 points in 303 games in the NHL playing for the Blues and the Caps, and is now in his second successful season for Dynamo Moscow. He scored 63 points in 58 games last season, and this year he has 31 points in as many games. Career KHLer Dmitry Kagarletsky is having a nice season with 23 points in 31 games. And KHL vet Juuso Hietanen is having a great season with 16 points from the blue line in 31 games. 35-year-old's doing well. Season outlook. It looks good. They're in a really similar position to Dynamo Minsk. Moscow is 1 point behind Minsk for fourth in division, so they're pretty securely in a playoff spot right now. They can be a really hot and cold team. Sometimes they get blown out. Sometimes they blow out their opponent. But they typically win the games they should win and are at least competitive against the powerhouse teams. Also, they've been playing really hot lately. They've won six of their last eight, which is further solidifying their playoff hopes. I definitely see them making the playoffs, but I don't think they have enough talent to beat a powerhouse team. And the final team in the division, Lokomotiv Yaroslavl, the team with a tragic history. Another historic franchise, this team's history begins in 1959. They played in lower-level Russian leagues until they were promoted to the Soviet League in 1983. They didn't have much success there, but they were one of the better teams of the Russian Super League years. They won championships in 1997, 2002, and 2003, and were perennial playoff contenders between those championships. In the KHL era, Lokomotiv has made it to the Gagarin Cup Finals in the inaugural season, but lost to Akbars Kazan. They've made the playoffs in each of their 11 KHL seasons they've played in. In one of the most horrific tragedies in hockey history, their team plane crashed in September 2011, killing all but one of the 45 people on board. 26 of those people were players for the team, so because of this, the team had to withdraw from the 2011-2012 KHL season. Rene Fassel, president of the International Ice Hockey Federation, called the crash the darkest day in the history of our sport. Yaroslavl announced a three-day period of mourning from Friday, the 9th of September, to Sunday, the 11th of September, 2011. The following day in Minsk, at the arena where the locomotive plane was headed to play its first game of the season, a Requiem Mass was celebrated to honor the dead. On the 10th of September, memorial services for players were held in their mother countries. The biggest services were held in Arena 2000, the home arena of Lokomotiv Yaroslavl, with thousands of mourners as well as Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin in attendance. Local police determined the crowd number to be roughly 100,000. The entire hockey world memorialized the tragedy and the lives lost in the crash, including the NHL, the SHL, the Slovakian League, the German League, and many others. The event is still memorialized by the KHL and Russia on the anniversary each year. The team, like I said, had to withdraw from the KHL season, so they instead played the rest of the 2011-2012 season in Russia's second league, and they rejoined the KHL the next year after hiring Tom Rowe as coach and bringing in several former NHL players to support the youngsters. They were successful in rebuilding their roster after the tragedy and made the playoffs in their first season back. Past players of note. Ivan Kachenko. He's the all-time leader in points scored with 262 points in 522 games. He died at the age of 31 in the plane crash. He was selected by the Blue Jackets in the 2002 draft, but never played in the NHL. 3 weeks after Kachenko's death, it was reported that during the last 4 years of his life, he'd anonymously donated almost 10 million rubles, over 300,000 US dollars, for the treatment of children suffering from serious diseases. He had transferred 500,000 rubles on the day before his death. Lokomotiv does not have a history of producing NHLers. They've produced many great career European players, however, but I couldn't really find any NHLers that have come through their system. Current players of note, there's two players tied for the lead in points this season on the team with 21 each, Yegor Koshkov and Denis Alexiev. Koshkov is a 2016 Maple Leafs pick. The 24-year-old is turning heads in the KHL this year and looks to earn a full-time spot in the NHL this season. Alexiev came up in the Lokomotiv system and is now in his fourth season up in the KHL with Lokomotiv. Last season, he had 37 points in 57 games, and he looks to improve on that total this year. Nikolai Kovalenko is a 2018 Colorado Avalanche pick, and he looks to pick up the pace with only 9 points in 22 games from the wing so far this season. Ilya Lyubushkin of the Arizona Coyotes was recently loaned to Lokomotiv, the team where he played before being drafted. He's only had 2 games so far, so we'll have to watch him going forward and see what kind of impact he can make. And finally, the captain, Vladimir Tkachyov, has scored 14 points in 24 games and has a plus 15 rating. The season outlook for Lokomotiv. Great. They're second in the division and are pretty certainly headed to the playoffs yet again. But I don't think they have enough talent to win against powerhouse teams. But watch for them to give rival Dynamo Minsk the boot in the first round yet again. That's something they like to do in the playoffs. So that wraps up all the teams in the Tarasov division. I hope that gave you a good idea of who's playing this season, gave you a good introduction to the league. We have 2 more divisions to go. We're going to be going into the Eastern Conference with next week's episode. So I hope you enjoyed listening this week. I encourage you to tune back in next week. Again, this podcast comes out Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. So look forward on your queue to start your weekend and go out and watch some hockey this week. And thanks for listening.